Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Women Leading the Way Radio Show, where each time you'll hear from successful women CEOs, executives, and professionals, where we'll discover how they do what they do to be successful in business. We'll be interviewing women who have overcome big challenges, women who have incredible stories of lessons learned in dealing with adversity. We'll even interview women who have started and grown successful organizations and women who are C-level executives with unique talents and positions. Our goal is to bring successful businesswomen together to share how they're leading the way in business today. Hi, Annabelle. It's Michelle Berquist. Welcome to Women Lead Radio. I am so excited to have you on our show today, and good afternoon. I want to introduce our leading lady, Annabelle. You are leading lady today, and she is the trade secret and business litigation attorney with Wellman & Warren. And Annabelle, can you please say hello to all of our listeners?
Hello, everybody, and I'm so excited to be here. Thanks for having me.
Well, I'm excited, too, because our topic today is on it's going to be on trade secrets, right? Secrets in business. I know your specialty is that, you know, you deal with, as a business litigator, all those business trade secrets. But I'd love for you to give kind of just a broad brush of, so many of our listeners are small business owners, as female owners and founders. I mean, what are some of the biggest issues you see that businesses come across when it has to do with trade secrets?
Well, let me tell you what a trade secret is first, because a lot of people get confused with trademarks, and you know, there's other names that start with trade, and no one really knows what it is. Just to keep it real simple, what it is it's information that your business has that's valuable to your competitors that you don't want stolen and to get out in the market, because if your competitors have it, they can use it against you. It might be customer lists. It might be your marketing plans. It might be, you know, information on your customers, you know, who the go-to people are for purchasing things or their wants and needs. Those are the classics. I mean, it could be the Coca-Cola formula, but most of us don't have a Coca-Cola formula. So it's usually, you know, information that's very valuable to our competitors. That's what a trade secret is.
And do you usually go ahead. Keep going. You were on what a trade secret is. Sorry, I interrupted you.
No, actually, I was done with that. I think you had asked me about, you know, what I typically see that's a problem. And the biggest problem I see is that people don't protect their trade secrets.
Mm.
Like, yeah, you know, I might have a company and you have this very valuable information, as we all do, on our computers. And when you're a business owner, a lot of times people don't think that that stuff is really classified. So they don't think to password protect it. They might just have it on a server, and that means the receptionist can get to it. Everybody in your office can see it. And what they don't realize is that if someone was to take that information, like the receptionist or anybody, and you don't have it password protected, and you don't have people signing agreements saying that they're not going to run off with your information, then if you try to get back that information in a lawsuit, the court is not going to be feeling too sorry for you. They're going to lecture you and say, hey, business owner, you didn't protect your information. You should have put a password. You should have told people that it wasn't their information. And that's one of the biggest problems we see, why people steal the information in the first place. It's really accessible.
Well, and I guess this, you know, I'm thinking 20,000 questions on this, right, as a small business owner myself. And I, you know, I think of colleagues of mine who will say, you know, gosh, I want to trust my employees, but then I know there are colleagues out there who go, oh, yeah, I had an employee, and they left, and they started a business just like mine, and they stole the client list. But, you know, in the days of, I guess, California specifically, because you and I are both in California, you know, is there anything that can be done as far as non-compete, or is that a whole different animal when we're looking at trade secrets? Because employees have access to things. How do you maybe make some recommendations to our listeners and how they can control that? Because you have employees that need access to things, but then what do you do if somebody runs off with the client list? How can you protect that as, you know, something under a trade secret from a business standpoint?
Well, one of the things you need to know is there's nothing wrong with competing against your old employer. We're very pro starting your own business in this state. You know, we're happy to have everybody compete against everybody. And so, in essence, there's nothing wrong with actually giving business to the same customers from before. But the problem is if you take information that is confidential to do it. For instance, I'm at this law firm. Let's say I left Wellman and Warren, you know, tomorrow and decided to start the Annabella Law Firm. Nothing wrong with that. And let's say I feel like doing some business with some of my old clients. Nothing wrong with that either. But there is a problem if I enter onto the computer of my law firm and I start taking all this information the client gave us and I take the billing and I take that over to the new Annabella Law Firm and then I say, hey clients, ditch Wellman and Warren and come with me because I happen to know that last year you paid $20,000 in March, and if you come with me, I can save you 20% off of that, and we can make this deal together. See, if I had just left and said, hi, client, I'm starting the Annabella Law Firm. Why don't you just, you know, use me in the future? There's no problem with that. It's the stealing of the data that's the problem. So that takes me back to what I was saying. You got to protect the information in the first place.
Right. And so I guess, again, then some other questions, because I've known business owners who will say, well, employees need to access information. And, you know, and small business owners have tight budgets. You know, what's critical and relevant for one business versus another? What would be maybe some steps that you would recommend or the areas? Like I think of a small business owner that they obviously want to protect their client list. So, I mean, password protection, meaning that you know who's done what. I mean, how would you, you know, you have to have, what are some ideas you would have and how people could protect their client list, you know, from that walking out the door, I think is one question. Or maybe there's other areas you see where employees or owners need to protect themselves for trade secrets.
Yeah, let me tell you the easiest ways to do it. And it starts with an employee manual. Everybody that works for you should sign an employee manual that says, when you come to work for me, you know, you're going to get certain documents. Here's a description of those documents. And we want you to know that as long as you're with us, you have access to these documents. But if you were ever to leave us, these documents belong to us, and you can't take them home, you can't send them anywhere, and, you know, anything you have that belongs to the company has to come back to us. That's a very easy way of protecting it. The next level up would be to password protect things and have different passwords. You know, in the event that somebody steals information and everybody has exactly the same password, it's like whodunit. You don't know who took the stuff. So you want to have people with different passwords. That way, if it disappears, then you know who to go after. And thirdly, going back to the password issue, not everybody should have a password. The receptionist example I was talking about earlier, there's no reason the receptionist should have information to like your marketing plans or your new product that's coming out. They're never going to use it. You just want to give limited access to the fewest people in the office that absolutely need the information and make sure that they sign these employee agreements. Everybody should sign one, actually. And then you have, you know, policies in place where maybe a couple of times a year you have a little meeting and you say, okay, everybody, you know, having a great year. Here's what's going on. We just want to remind you that, you know, we have certain information on our computer, like our computer data about our customers and their preferences. And we don't want you to take that ever because that belongs to the company. And you remind them a couple of years. Those are very easy things to do. Any employer can do them, and they will really go a long way towards protecting you. But, you know, as you said, people do need to access the information.
Yeah. Well, and, you know, I mean, I'm thinking of the other trend with a lot of my colleagues that they will say, you know, virtual management, you know, you're not eyeball to eyeball with employees or staff or your team anymore, you know, because everything is in the clouds. And so, I mean, same kind of thing when you think of shared files and, you know, cloud-based environments. Is it the same kind of thing? I mean, I know employees of, you know, at least past employees of mine, you know, they'll download files on their own, that kind of thing. So I was curious, again, can you actually make rules and instructions that say you can't download on your computer? And then how does a small business owner actually monitor something like that?
Well, I don't think it's too reasonable to tell people you can't download things because they need them, right? They got to use them for business.
Right.
Smarter way to go about it is to identify very specifically the information that belongs to the company and have the, you know, the manual that says in the event you leave the company, you have to return all information to us. I mean, you really can't secure your business so well that nobody's going to take it in the first place. But what you can do is have instructions in place that everybody understands that if they do take it, you have a way of getting it back. You know, if somebody were to, you know, download information that they're using for a perfectly legitimate work purpose, and then, you know, six months forward, they leave the company and they start using that information, they sign this agreement, at least you could go after them in some kind of a lawsuit or temporary restraining order saying, you know, here's a copy of the employee agreement you signed. You promised to give us the stuff. We found out that you have access to it. You've been using it since you left us. Give it back to us, or we're going to go in and we're going to get a court order to have you hand it back over to us.
Give it to us now. That's what you're saying. I love it. You know, and I'm really curious, Annabella, because what a specialty, you know, as an attorney. And how did you evolve and get into your expert, you know, kind of place with trade secrets as an attorney? I mean, did you consciously go that route? Or, you know, when you were an attorney, you said, hey, I know I want to specialize in trade secrets? Because I don't see a ton of attorneys, you know, that specialize in that. So I'm curious about your journey to make this your specialization.
I think it started when I worked for insurance carriers. I had a bunch of independent insurance carriers that would hire me for fraud cases where they thought somebody was doing something weird. So I kind of got very familiar with digging up dirt, to put it one way, and figuring out how people hide information. And because of that, I have to work with a lot of electronic discovery. You know, the good old days, everybody had a Rolodex or somebody ran out the back door with a banker's box. That doesn't happen anymore.
Right.
Now people are sticking their USB drive in. You know what the classic thing is? They take information and they email it to their house from their work email. And that's because people don't realize how easy it is to trace electronic information. A lot of lawyers don't like to work with electronic information because they're, you know, not very techy, shall we say. But I do, and I think that if you're good at working with tech information, you can quickly hone in and find out when somebody has stolen something. And frankly, I find these cases fascinating. It's like a whodunit, like a murder mystery. Is it the IT guy?
Is it the vice president? Yeah. Well, yeah, I mean, I'm really curious with you because I can think of, you know, a kind of colleague of mine. They run a successful business, and they, you know, uncovered that one of their really key people was getting ready to launch a business outside that was in competition with theirs. And so the staff member was emailing on their business email account, which was stupid to start with, and they were emailing, you know, clients, and then they would follow up and say, hey, I'm going to be leaving and I'm going to be doing this. And that's exactly what you're saying is, you mean, you think, gosh, you know, if you're going to do that, just make sure you separate things. But I'm curious with you, when you think you're a forensic artist here, it's like, what has been one of, I know you can't say who, but if you could describe maybe the situation or the scenario, what maybe is one of your most fascinating trade secret, you know, kind of legal cases, if you can share some details without disclosing, of course, who it is.
Oh, sure. Yeah, it's actually very funny, the facts of these cases.
I would love to hear
that. But I'll tell you in a classic case that I had, you had a sales manager type person that had been with a company a long time that felt like they should have taken over the company at some point, but, you know, they got mad because they didn't ascend to the top position. And this is usually the reason why people leave. They get mad because nobody gave them the pat on the back at the Christmas party. So they decide to leave, which is fine. But they do it, they start working against the company before they've left. So in this particular circumstance, we had a person that started working with his soon-to-be new employer, which was going to be another 30 days down the line, and actually worked with the president of his new company and a whole bunch of IT people that were connected with that president, six or seven of them. And while he was working for his current employer, he was sending all this information to the IT department of the new place, all the information we're talking, like the whole shebang, customer names, customer invoices, you know, markups, invoices for the last decade, all this stuff. And, well, he basically said, let's have a go-to-meeting kind of meeting on my PC next Tuesday, and let me allow you folks to access my information. And while you're in there, you know, please duplicate the database and start securing it for our new company.
Oh, how silly. Oh, my gosh.
And worse yet than the new company. And here's my advice for you companies that hire people from other companies. You know how many of us, we like to hire competitor type of people because we know that they're probably going to bring over some clients, right? I mean, that's what we all think. So we like to hire competitor employees. But if you're going to do that and you think these people are going to bring over clients, you want to have them sign an agreement saying, you know, we're happy to have you come over from the ABC company, but you're going to promise us when we hire you that you're not going to be giving us any information from the old company. We don't want any information you took from them. You know, we don't want you to bring over any data. We don't want you to bring over any customer lists. We don't want this. We don't want that. That way you're covered, or at least you have a better chance of being covered in the event that a lawsuit is filed and this person did actually steal stuff from the old company. And the reason why I say that is, you know, you won't end up with the letter that I saw from the new employer of this person that left. That's a letter congratulating him for bringing over all these clients. Thank you very much. And then the letter to the IT guys, the seven IT guys, saying, congratulations, we stole it, we have it.
God.
Never a good
crazy
exhibit to have.
That's a fabulous example of what not to do. That's so hysterical that people would, you know, don't document it, but then yeah, your electronic footprint today is such a big one. So, you know, I know we have a ton of small business owners throughout, you know, the U.S. that listen to our show, Annabella, and I'm curious, you know, maybe, and obviously we've talked about the client list and making sure things are password protected, but are there a couple of other, you know, tips, suggestions, you know, that you might share of what business owners maybe aren't thinking of or not aware of, you know, of what they can do thinking about their trade secrets and protecting, you know, their business processes and all that they've worked so hard to achieve and build?
Well, I'd say that the biggest problem goes back to the employee manual. Most people have like a real generic employee manual, and it just says, well, either it doesn't say anything about confidential data, or it says, we might have some confidential data and we don't want you to take it. You know, you got to amp it up to the next level and say, oh, you might come across marketing plans. You may come across our ABC customer X file that has whatever it is, you know, customer information. Though keep in mind that we're talking a lot about customer lists, but in general, just a plain old customer list, like the same thing you could get from a trade show or some general list on Google, that's really not something that's protectable. You know,
right.
If you could find it on Google and everybody's got it, it's really not a secret. So it has to be a little bit more than that. You have to have, you know, like the customer information, things you couldn't find normally without a lot of work, you know, like their shipping preferences and the amount they've been paying, you know, as a markup, their sales history, you know, what do they like? What are their specific things that they want in an order versus anybody else? These kind of things are the valuable things I'm talking about, not just a straight list of names and addresses, because we can all get that off of Google, like you said. So there is a line you got to cross to make it into confidential information. It's not going to be just any old client name. That's not going to work. So, you know, identify in your employee manual real specifically what you're trying to protect. And then again, you know, on the flip side of it, if you're the person leaving, and I'm sure that you have employees or business owners that have started up their new companies, if you're going to be starting up your own company, then make sure that you don't take any information from your old employer. Don't put it on a USB drive. Don't email it to yourself. Don't upload it on the cloud, sticking it in, you know, FileShare or Dropbox. And if you're going to go after your old clients, which you have every right to do, then I would just sit there. I'd go on Google. I'd find my clients because, I mean, you can't give me a lobotomy, right? I remember who they are. Fine.
Right.
I would go into Google, and I'd get those names of those clients, and I'd find all the public information, and I'd call them up, even though it's kind of an exercise, going through Google and say, oh, hi, remember me? You know, we had this wonderful working relationship together, and I'd like you to know that I'm with a new company, and you wait until you left so you do it nice and clean, and then you can show from your printout on Google that you didn't take anything. It was all public information. It's the best way to start a new company clean, and I think that new business owners should know that so they don't get to be the defendant in some nasty lawsuit by the old employer, because they get very upset, you know, when you say customers, rightly so. And you're going to want to be in a position where you can show that you didn't take anything. It's all public information.
Well, and what are some other trade secret infringements that you've seen with, you know, businesses? I mean, as a litigator, I'm sure, my gosh, you could probably make our heads spin and scare the heck out of me as a small business owner. But, you know, are there some other areas? You know, we talked about the client list. I know, you know, we talked about having information in the employee handbook that says, you know, this is to remain confidential, stay with us. Are there other trade secret little do's and don'ts that you might have for us that maybe we're not thinking of? Because I think client list, business processes, you know, I've even known businesses, Annabella, like I was in a very competitive business years ago. It was a corporate gift business. And one of the things I would see all the time is, you know, again, you'd start somebody out, they'd make baskets, they'd interact with clients, and so they knew how to do production and make the product, right, package it up, and they had the client relationship, and then that just was hardship on a business. And so I learned quickly to separate those that did production were separate from those that had interaction with the clientele and the customer list. And that worked pretty well for me. And I know that sounds maybe crazy, but I just had heard so many cases of businesses who had their employees leave and then, you know, they went and start businesses. Are there other areas with trade secrets you can share that might be kind of, what do we call those, minefields, areas to watch out for?
I would say that any company that's developing new products or processes is, you know, they're in a very delicate position, because sometimes, you know, I've had clients that were developing a new product and, you know, it takes 6, 8, maybe a year to come up with this new product, develop it, and maybe you're getting materials from China or you're establishing connections with vendors. All that kind of stuff is very classified and people don't protect it as much as they should. And they have a launch date, they're going to come out with their new, you know, bubblegum product, whatever it is, you know, next January. So they're working up to it for months, and then they have a key player on the team that decides to leave. And they go to some competing company. It's like, okay, you know, I got all this info. We can beat them to the market. I got their marketing plan. I've got their people that are going to be manufacturing it. Let's just go to these people and, you know, pay them a little more. They'll manufacture it for us instead of them. We'll beat them to the market. We'll have this new great product that we basically did nothing to do. They did all the work. We're just stealing it out of them. And the reason why that happens is, again, lack of protection. If you're developing products and new processes and you got some new thing going that nobody knows about, have your people that are working on it sign a confidentiality agreement. So it's, you know, to put it real simply, it's something along the lines of, John, you know, you're going to be working on this project with us, and we want you to know that our ideas and our marketing plans and all our documents, again, are confidential information, and should you decide to leave us, you're not going to take them with you. Same thing. By doing that simple little step, you can stop people from leaving your team and competing against you, whatever the information is. So confidentiality agreements, same with, you know, how we all hire vendors to do work for us. I mean, it could even be your IT people that run off with the information.
Right.
Whoever you're hiring, or if you have a bunch of outside companies that are not your employees, again, confidentiality agreements are the way to go. That way, if they take your information, you can go after them in a lawsuit and try to get it back via, you know, emergency procedures with the court. Because the longer it's out there, you know, the more it gets shared with other people, and you won't be able to get it back. So I'd say that's a pretty big area, too.
Yeah,
and then, of course,
yeah.
The classic, the actual formula for Coca-Cola, or, you know, the waffle recipe, whatever it is. You know, if you've got some company where some kind of information that you developed is special, then you better not have that with a bunch of people. Sometimes they separate it, like, you know, John knows the first part of the formula and Susan knows the second part of the formula. You know, Coca-Cola supposedly has this massive vault where they've got it in there, and they say that no one person knows all the parts of the formula. I don't know if it's true or not.
I've heard that too. Well, you know, and I'm curious. We only got a couple of minutes left, and I'm fascinated with this. So, you know, again, great stuff. You know, two questions. Number one, I know that there are people listening that may have questions, you know, for their business or whatever. How, if any of our listeners want to reach you, how would you like them, you know, to kind of communicate or contact you? Can you share that with our listeners?
Sure. Anybody that has any questions, feel free to call me at Wellman & Warren. We're in Laguna Hills, and my number is 949-580-3737, or email me, Bonfa, my last name, B-O-N as in Nancy, F as in Frank A, at w-law.com. Happy to talk to
you. Well, and I have to say you are a many women award winner, and I wanted to say congratulations because you were recognized as our Women's Advocate of the Year for the Women of Influence Awards that we put on this year. So we want all of our listeners to know that you are an award-winning attorney, and not just with ours, but we were talking about that before. So you are all that, Annabella. We'll go with that.
Well, thank you. That was very exciting to win that. You got a great organization, and certainly some wonderful business women there.
We got some power women, you know, and I got to ask one final question. I mean, actually two of them, but one, you know, we haven't said anything about social media, and I'm curious, are there areas that are, you know, areas to watch out for as it comes to social media with trade secrets for businesses that, you know, maybe I don't even know, I can't even, you know, I could probably guess, but what are some of the ones, or are there any that businesses need to be aware of?
Well, you know, LinkedIn is a very hot area where people keep customers and all that kind of stuff. You're not going to get too far with somebody having a LinkedIn list, though I have seen companies say that the LinkedIn list of the employee actually belongs to the employer. I'm not really sure you'd go too far with that. I would say that social media plays a bigger part in these cases when you're litigating them and you're suing somebody, and they say, oh, you know, I didn't take this information, but they're kind of dumb, and they post on Facebook that they have this stuff. You'd be scared of what people will post on Facebook. So if you're going to be a thief, try not to advertise it on Facebook.
So you're saying don't be dumb is what you're saying. It's like, you know, hey, don't be dumb out there. Really? Really? Oh, my gosh. And, you know, I mean, for you, it's like I'm just curious. It's like, do you, from a trend standpoint, because one of the things I always love to know, you know, for our listeners as well, is just the things that are trending within specific industries or businesses. And are you finding that there's just a lot more lawsuits happening because businesses are finding that, you know, they've had their trade secrets, you know, poached? Or are you finding that it's kind of just a stable industry right now? Or kind of paint for us a picture of what's going on in your industry and what you're seeing. Is it on the uptick, or are people finally getting it? So we're going to put you in the poorhouse by not having trade secret infringement, right?
I think I've seen an increase in the number of lawsuits that have been brought against new employees that are leaving. And when I say that, I mean for the purpose of trying to crush the new business. Unfortunately, some people will just sue somebody knowing they didn't take anything. And they figure, I'm going to cost them a lot of money in legal fees, and they won't even be able to recover from that enough to start the new business. So they do it in a kind of a nasty way, just hoping to crush somebody's business. I think that's horrible, but it happens, and I've seen more and more of it.
Wow. Wow. And for you, I mean, I know you're involved in other things, but what would be maybe the final suggestion you would make to our listeners who, you know, what not to do or think something to keep in mind? And we're going to end on that because this has been fabulous. I'd love to have you back again. And, you know, we have a big event coming up that I'm going to share in a minute. But leave us with one final major, you know, amazing tip or suggestion.
My biggest suggestion would be if you're going to leave a company, don't touch anything, don't download anything, don't send anything to yourself. Wait till you're completely gone, and then contact your clients.
I love it. That is good advice. Annabella, I want to say thank you for being our leading lady today. I want to thank all of our listeners. We love your loyalty. Again, we're going to be back not next week because we'll be celebrating July 4th, but we will be back the following Friday. And we're also have live shows on Monday mornings at 9 a.m. But on July 8th, I believe, our next leading lady is going to be an amazing woman who's written a couple of books, and she is with the Dale Carnegie business. So we'll look forward to having you on the show then. And real quick, I just want to say, Annabella, we're going to have you back for our Women Owners Summit. And to all of our listeners, if you are in the San Diego or Southern California area, our Women Owners Summit is a one-day professional enrichment, which will be a three-quarter day summit where we're going to have conversations on business among women owners and founders and businesswomen who are going to talk about how to scale and leverage and build their business enterprises. So for more information, you can go to womenownerssummit.com. And to the rest of our listeners, you have a great weekend, and we always are here on Women Lead Radio every Monday and Friday. Women Leading the Way is produced by Connected Women of Influence, the premier private membership organization where like-focused business-to-business executive and professional women connect, collaborate, and cultivate a vast network of high-level affiliations, resources, and professional relationships. For more information about Connected Women of Influence, please visit our website at connectedwomenofinfluence.com.